Well, good morning, Cornerstone Church. God bless you. Let me read you this letter from a student who received a series of college rejection letters. Here's his response to one college. Dear Admissions Committee, having reviewed the many rejection letters I have received in the past few weeks, it is with great regret that I must inform you that I am unable to accept your rejection at this time. This year, after applying to a great many colleges and universities, I received an especially fine crop of rejection letters. Unfortunately, the number of rejections that I can accept is limited. Each of my rejections were carefully reviewed and on an individual basis. Many factors were taken into account: the size of the institution, student-faculty ratio, location, reputation, costs, and social atmosphere. I am certain that most colleges I applied to are more than qualified to reject me. I also am sure that some mistakes were made in turning away some of these rejections. I can only hope they were few in number. I am aware of the keen disappointment my decision may bring. Throughout my deliberations, I have kept in mind the time and effort it may have taken for you to reach your decision to reject me. Keep in mind that at times it was necessary for me to reject even those letters of rejection that would normally have met my traditionally high standards. I appreciate your having enough interest in me to reject my application. Let me take the opportunity to wish you well in what I am sure will be a successful academic year. See you in the fall. Sincerely, Paul Devlin. Now, that's hilarious. He wrote I reject your rejection letter back to the college. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, wrote every one of us. He wrote you. He wrote me an acceptance letter. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be going together through the book of Ephesians. So why don't you open up to Ephesians chapter 1 with me today, if you will, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Let's stand together as we read from God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us all in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Father, we're so excited to find out who we are because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are so overwhelmed by this glorious position that you've put us into, that we are blessed and chosen and accepted, that the Holy Spirit seals us until that day of Christ's return, that He is the guarantee of our inheritance until our full redemption when we see Jesus face to face. May we never be intimidated again by thinking we are less than Christians or we don't really deserve the promises of God or that somehow we might not really be saved. Father, I pray that as we come away from this study together, people would be bold and confident in their relationship with You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. I love the book of Ephesians. And Paul really addresses this church here, this question that has been debated for generations, for centuries, and even millennia now. This question that I remember talking about as a young person in Sunday school class about who is really saved. And we debated about whether this group was really saved or whether that group was really saved. And there's been so much debate and so much discussion of who really belongs to God, who really is a Christian. Holy wars have been fought about this subject. I know of people that have been told that they have no place with God now because of some sin that they had committed and that God has now rejected them and they don't belong to God anymore and there's no hope for them to ever belong to God. I remember as an 18-year-old teenager, I went on a summer mission trip in the South. We did street evangelism. We went to resort areas like on the beach in Mississippi and in Alabama. We went to the mountains of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and it was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee that we were witnessing to people on the streets. And periodically, you know, quite often, you would run into people who were born again, people who had a relationship with God. And so that was not our purpose. We weren't there really to, you know, just mingle with other believers. We were sharing our faith and trying to lead people into salvation experience and to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But I remember speaking to this particular man, and he was answering my questions, and then he began to debate with me the validity of my own salvation because I had not been baptized in his church. I had not been baptized with the baptism formula that his church used. As a matter of fact, he actually believed that his church was the only church and that they were the only true believers. And I remember, you know, just trying to dismiss the conversation and get on to somebody else, perhaps that I should be witnessing to. And I said, well, you know, sir, you know, we're not going to agree on everything here. So if I never see you again here on the earth, then I hope, you know, and look forward to seeing you in heaven. And he dismissed me with, I doubt that very much, and walked away. He did not believe that I was really saved because I wasn't doing it right. But as we look in Ephesians chapter 1, we see all of these wonderful, powerful verbs who describe to us what belongs to us as the children of God. We see the word blessed. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that we're chosen, that we're predestined, that we're adopted, that we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven. He's made known to us the mystery of His will. He is abounding towards us in all of this knowledge and what belongs to us. And we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and He is that guarantee that our inheritance will be delivered to us on the day of Christ's return. So the first thing that we see here is that we're blessed. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, one of the greatest responses when someone asks us, you know, how are you doing? Truly, we should say, because it's true. It's true of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We are blessed. We're blessed. It's not something that we have earned. It's not something that we deserve. It's something that we have received. I received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life, and most of you have done the same thing. And because of that fact, you are now blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You are predestined to be part of God's family. Now again, much debate and many holy wars have been fought over what does this mean to be predestined. Let's just put it this way. If you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, you've called on the name of the Lord, and you are saved, you are predestined. You are the adopted sons and daughters of God. God has adopted you into His family. He chose you. He predestined that you would be part of His family. And so it is not our job to decide who's predestined and who is not predestined. Our job is to witness and to tell others about Jesus and give them the opportunity to call in the name of the Lord and to be saved. It is not our job to decide who belongs and who is rejected. All I'm telling you is if you've called on the name of the Lord Jesus, you are accepted in the Beloved. You are blessed. You have been chosen. You are predestined. You belong. You've been adopted as a son or a daughter into the family of God. There was a brother and sister who were fighting one day, and they were young. And Brian says to Sally, in a very hateful tone, as children can be, he said, "Well, you're not really my sister. You're adopted." Sally held her ground and looked back at Brian and said, "Mom and Dad got stuck with you. They chose me. They chose me." Being chosen is special. Being adopted is special. That means God picked you out and said, "I want this one as my own." You are accepted. You know, what relief and what confidence that it instills in the heart of every person to know that I am loved and that I am accepted. People may reject me. A college may have rejected me. A job may have rejected me. A person may have rejected me. But God, the Creator of the universe, has accepted me. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And I have redemption. I have been redeemed. I have been purchased. The word redeem means to purchase from the slave market. That Christ paid the ransom necessary. He paid the price necessary. His blood was shed. That was the price that caused us to be free from the shackles and the bondage of sin. We've been purchased out of that slave market of sin, and now we are free. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Revelation 5, 9 and 10 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Christ, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us to be kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You know, if you have been redeemed, you don't have a past, you don't have a history. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you do not have to live below the circumstances. You can live above the circumstances. Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings of those who are obedient, those who belong to God, those who are following Christ. And these blessings shall overtake you and overcome you. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Your baskets and your storage houses will be full and overflowing. You shall lend and not borrow. Your enemies will flee from you. You will be victorious. You see, if you've been redeemed, you belong. You're accepted. You're blessed. You're chosen. Now, it doesn't mean you just get to go to heaven when you die, but you have this hellish life on earth. No, the redemption that we have, This purchase price that was paid for us, the blood of Jesus was shed so that we could be full heirs of God with all the rights, with all the privileges, with all the authority. And we are kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The circumstances of this world do not have to overtake us. But we have authority as kings and priests to rule and reign over the principalities, over the powers of darkness, over circumstances, over every name that's named. I don't have time to preach that whole sermon, but you read through all of Ephesians 1, if you will, this week. The curse of the law has been removed from you and me. All of this defeat, all of this sickness and disease and plague and bankruptcy and poverty and depression and just being defeated over and over again. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Previously, your relationship with God was determined by your ability to do it right, which you and I failed miserably over and over and over again, but we've been purchased out of that system so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's what I want to talk about. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And He is the guarantee. He is the deposit. He's the down payment that lets us know that our full redemption, spirit, soul, and body, is coming at the return of Jesus Christ. In John 14, Jesus begins to speak to His disciples about the Holy Spirit. And He said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, you know the Holy Spirit, for He dwells in you. He will be inside of you. Now, if you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. How is it that you could belong to God and not know it? How could anyone ever talk you out of the fact that you belong, that you're saved, that you're a child of God, that your name's written in heaven because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you? Romans 8, 15 through 17 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father, Daddy God. The Spirit Himself bears witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we will also be glorified together with Him. Look with me to 1 John chapter 2. I have a question for you. Do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? And if you have that witness today, then you should have all boldness to step into the presence of God without fear, without rejection, without intimidation, as if you really do belong. My children are mostly grown. My oldest is 27 years old, will be 28 this summer. My youngest is 18, and I have boys in the middle. But when they come into my home, they come into the home where Michelle and I live, they come in without fear. They come with boldness. They come as if they belong. And whatever's in the refrigerator, they feel free to partake of that. Whatever's in the cabinets, they feel free to partake of that. They feel free, my sons, to take socks out of my drawers or to borrow our phone charging cables. I mean, they have boldness. They have confidence in their relationship with me as their father and Michelle as their mother, and they have bold, confident access to everything that belongs to us, belongs to them. And I'm telling you, you are a child of God. You're accepted. You belong. You're an adopted member. Adopted family members are full. Come on, they're not less than. They fully belong to the family as every other son and daughter does. And you're chosen. You've been purchased with a price so that you would have access to the throne of God. You are now a full member of the family of God, part of Christ's body. And if so, you have that testimony. You have that witness on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit of promise, bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Now you can be led by the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. That when you pray, you have some confidence that God is hearing and then will answer your prayers when you pray according to His will. You see the children of God rule and reign with boldness and confidence in this world. 1 John 2, verse 24 reads this way. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing, the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing, the Holy Spirit who teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone lead you astray. You have an anointing. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You don't have anyone need to teach you. If someone tries to deceive you, tries to intimidate you by telling you that you are not really saved, you're not really a good Christian because you were baptized wrong, or you're in the wrong church, or you don't speak in tongues, or you're a Democrat, or you're a Republican, or they say you're not really a Christian because you believe the wrong thing about creation, or you believe the wrong thing about end times, or that you have bad habits that God will not approve of, or you say some bad words sometimes, or whatever. You don't need them to teach you. You don't need their validation. You don't need their approval. You don't need their acceptance. Because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He is the one who guarantees that you belong to God. Do not let religion or religious teachers intimidate you out of your position with God. You're blessed. You're chosen. You're accepted. You're predestined. You've been redeemed. And you have the Holy Spirit of promise guaranteeing you that you belong to the family of God. Look at 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us. That God has given us eternal life. And this is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You are good enough. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're chosen in Him. You're accepted and sealed. You have an inheritance with God today. God's promises belong to you as much as to any other person. You are qualified by Christ's blood and by the riches of His grace. You are valuable because value is determined by the price paid. It's determined. And you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody is qualified to judge my salvation. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of our lives someday. Will you have confidence on that day? Do you have the seal of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? And if you don't know, you can call on the name of the Lord right now and be saved. God bless you.